Hello, hello. Today we are going to be diving into the topic of the scale. So tune in.
Welcome to another episode of Binge Eating to Food Freedom with me, Katie Papo. If you're ready for genuine and lasting freedom from binge eating, emotional eating, or out of control food issues, you are in the right place. Subscribe, follow, and enjoy the episode.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Binge Eating to Food Freedom podcast. And I'm Katie Papo, and I'm happy to be here with you talking about the topic of the scale today. And the reason this came to the forefront of my mind is because I came upon a post that I had posted a couple years ago, 3 years ago, I think already. Geez, 3 years ago. And it was all about the scale. And this is something that when our clients come to work with us, a lot of times they have the question, now that I'm working with you, do I weigh myself? Do I not weigh myself? What's the philosophy on that? So I thought that, you know, all of us who've ever spent a good chunk of our lives weighing ourselves could benefit from this conversation, because I found that a lot of times for those of us who are weighing ourselves, we don't tend to get the results that we want, and then we wonder why. So I wanted to shed some light on this area and what will help you change your eating in more productive ways than the scale. So we're going to dive into that topic right now. Feel free, if you're listening live, write live in the comments. If you're listening to the replay, please write replay in the comments, and I appreciate you guys being here. So, okay, I'll start by saying that I used to be, I would have bet, I was 100% certain that weighing myself and getting on the scale and seeing the number, I thought that it helped me be in control of my eating. This was my perception. I was weighing myself every day, at least, often multiple times per day. And I believed that the more I was on top of like knowing what that number was and having my goal number in mind, the faster I would lose weight and the more motivated I would be. I believed this for a long time. And I don't know if you guys know, but I have a long history before I started getting into the more specifically binge eating and compulsive overeating. I worked in the weight loss world. And so I was that person for a while who would weigh you and measure you and help you set your goals and all that kind of stuff. So I had not only my own perception that the scale was helpful, but I also worked in that world, and I believed for others that that was helpful. Now that I've gotten so deep into the world of binge eating and compulsive overeating over the last number of years, I've seen how actually harmful the scale can be, not just mentally, but also physically in terms of reaching your goals, how it might not be as effective as a tool as we think. What I've discovered over time is that for sustainable weight loss to occur, the focus needs to be not on the number on the scale, but on having a genuinely peaceful and relaxed relationship with food, as opposed to trying to monitor or manipulate your weight. Now, like I said, I didn't realize this back when I was weight obsessed. But looking back now, I can see that the more I weighed myself, the more disordered my eating became. And I'll give you two examples, because really we can kind of sum it up into two scenarios, right? The first scenario is you step on the scale and you notice you gained weight, right? So for me, if I stepped on the scale and saw that I gained any amount of weight, the first thing I would do is I would criticize myself for messing up. I would start panicking. Oh no, the weight's going up. I would start planning on how I was going to lose that weight with meal planning and exercise. And then because I'm starting to plan out my next regimen, I knew I was about to get much stricter with my eating. So because I was anticipating that, I would buy all my favorite foods to start eating now, knowing that once I'm on my new plan, you know, starting tomorrow, I couldn't have them anymore. So I'd buy all those things and then I would eat all of them knowing I was about to be strict tomorrow. And then if I had any leftovers, I would force myself to eat them because I didn't want to have any leftovers even tempting me the next day. So I ate them all that day instead. And then what would happen oftentimes is I'd eat so much that day that by the time the next day came around, I would feel so sick that I couldn't bring myself to exercise or that I just want to binge again. I feel like I already ruined it and the binge cycle continued. So notice how just the act of stepping on the scale and seeing that I gained weight, I would automatically go into that mindset of, okay, now I really got to get serious. Now I really have to be strict. And then in anticipating all of that strictness with my diet or my exercise, then I would just want to get it all out of my system that day, right? Eat everything that I could in anticipation of that strict plan starting tomorrow. So already just the act of stepping on the scale was that first act that would trigger my next round of binges. Right. So obviously my goal was to lose weight, but by stepping on the scale, I'm doing all of these habits and behaviors that are only going to create more weight gain because now I'm triggering binges. And I've talked about this in so many other episodes, how when we try to restrict ourselves or we anticipate restriction, the body goes into this rebelliousness biologically and psychologically, because it's anticipating starvation on some level. It's anticipating a survival kind of situation. Now, that was just if I gained weight. But what if I stepped on the scale and I noticed I lost weight? What would happen then? Well, at first, I'd be so proud of myself, right? That I'd either want to celebrate with a treat, right? I'm allowed. I just lost weight. Or I would be so motivated that I lost weight that I'd start doing these calculations in my head. Oh, well, if I lost 3 pounds this week, then if I lose another 3 pounds next week, then I'll be at my goal weight in this number of weeks. And then I'd start fixating on how to keep that up. Now I'm still anticipating, just like I did in the first scenario, now I'm still anticipating that I'm going to get stricter with my eating, right? Because I already lost this much weight and I got to keep it going. So I would start planning, okay, well, I'm going to not eat this food. I'm going to only eat this amount of this food. I would start to set these rules and these plans. Now, in anticipation that my eating is about to get stricter, I would already start missing all the foods that I can't have anymore, right? So I would decide, oh, let me just have one last binge. And then that one last binge wouldn't end up really being that one last binge, and that binge cycle would continue. So I know that this is really common in the sense that a lot of us, if we gain the weight, it ends up badly for us. If we lose the weight, it ends up badly for us. And either way, we end up gaining more in the end, because we continue to fuel the binge cycle. So I think that anybody who's gained and lost the weight many times before, you know that while it seems like the scale can be used as some kind of motivational tool, the drama around it, the anticipation around it, the subsequent binging that can go along with it can end up making things far, far worse. And I know that for me, no matter what the scale said, I would find my way back to binging soon enough. I know that for a lot of us, right, stepping on the scale, that can make or break the entire day. Now, it took me a bit of time to really let go completely of the idea of the scale, because I had such a strong background in the weight loss world. I was an advocate for moderate use of the scale, you know, weighing yourself once in a while, not just every day. Eventually I came to the point where I learned how irrelevant, and not only that, but how unhelpful and actively harmful it is for this to be the kind of metric that you'd rely on to make progress in ending your disordered eating. When our clients stop focusing on weight, we have to focus on something else. Right? We have to. And by doing that, by not focusing on that as the main metric, now we get to start measuring success in more helpful ways that would be more connected to the types of results that promote sustainable change. So for example, here are some of the types of metrics that our clients use to measure their success now. And this is what I started to use as well. Number one, how peaceful they feel while they're eating, right? Are they going into panic mode of I need to eat everything that I can right now before I'm not allowed to anymore? Or do they feel genuinely peaceful, feeling like there's no rush, feeling like I don't have to eat all this now. I don't feel compulsive. I actually feel quite calm around food. And the choices that I make around food are not out of control. They feel like genuine choices, right? That's one metric is, do you feel peaceful when you're eating or do you feel compulsive? That's one of the things that we work with in our, those of you guys are going to be signing up for a 30-day intensive path. If you don't know, we're on March 12th, we're starting a new intensive and registration is open right now, where we're going to be guiding you how to make that very specific shift of going from compulsive around food to being genuinely calm around food where your choices are real choices. Another metric that our clients use is how often they're noticing sensations like hunger or fullness. Right? Because when we're focusing on just the scale, what we're really doing is we're overriding any body signals that we might have because we're so focused on, let me just get the weight off, that we ignore body signals. And what happens when we ignore body signals? Our body learns to not trust us at all and then holds on to weight even more so. When we actually listen to our body signals, such as hunger, such as satisfaction, such as fullness, such as pleasure, then we're in a position where we can start to make choices that actually feel good. And then when we make choices that feel good, now we're on our way to health, as opposed to if we're just trying to follow a set of rules and white knuckling it for as long as we can. We know eventually we're going to rebel against those rules. We know we've dealt with this so many times that these are not sustainable rules that are going to last us a lifetime. But what can last us a lifetime is being able to communicate with our bodies, where in any given moment, in your whole life, in any given moment, you can tune into your body and know what it needs and be able to give that to yourself, to satisfy yourself, to actually feel good. Then the body gets this idea of, hey, I'm actually not in a survival situation anymore. I don't need to hold on to weight anymore. Because I know that I'm being listened to, that when I'm hungry, I'm fed. When I'm full, I'm not being overstuffed anymore. Now I can operate normally. Now I can operate in a more efficient way. So that's another metric that I have used and my clients also use on noticing the hunger and fullness signals. This is exactly what we train our clients in the second piece of our intensive. In that second part, it's all about body communication. We call it receive. That's what the phase we call it is receive, because you are actually able to receive body signals. Whereas if you're all wound up and you're all up in your head and worried about the numbers, you are not connected to your body, right? In order to actually feel how the body feels, we need to be calm. We need to be receptive. We need to be able to receive. Another metric that we've used with our clients instead of numbers on the scale is how quickly they bounce back after a challenge or after a binge or after some kind of misstep. If something discouraging happens, right, and that sends you off into some kind of a spiral, a lot of times what we're used to is the spiral just continues and it gets worse. It's like we made one mistake. We ate that one food. It opened up all the floodgates. And now it's like we're feeling out of control trying to get our footing after that. What I found when working with people on their food issues is that when they do have some kind of challenge come up, I've noticed that the not only is the bounce back time faster, but there's no drama around it. Right? There's no, oh, I've fallen and I can't get up, or oh, I've ruined it, or now it's all gone, or I've undone all my hard work. There's no more any of that. I just saw that with one of our clients today. She said she hadn't had a binge in a very long time. And she had this moment that, I think it was either last night or the night before, where she did feel out of control around food. And what she did immediately, she said, I immediately did this step. I listened to this recording of Katie's. I did these, I answered these reflection questions. I took myself through. I realized exactly what caused the binge. I know exactly what I did that fueled that whole thing. And she was like, I have so much compassion for myself and I'm able to let this go. And I'm so grateful I have these tools because now I've already moved on. And this is the idea, is she had a challenge, but instead of it derailing a whole week or a whole month, or it being something that she really needed to like recover from and lift herself up from, instead it was a simple bounce back process. She gave herself some compassion. She took herself through a little learning process that we gave her to be able to get to the next step and move on in a productive way. And then she did that. And now it ended up just being this really short thing that didn't take a lot of time or energy at all, instead of going into a whole week or month of spiral of binges like it used to. So that's another sign of progress, or a metric of success that we use, is how quickly our clients bounce back. And I notice in myself that as I continue with this work, for any number of challenges, even outside of food, I bounce back much, much more quickly than I used to. And then I have a few others that I've listed here, but I think I'm just going to choose a couple more. So another metric of success that I've used that I feel is far more valuable than the scale is how peaceful you feel around old triggers, things that used to trigger you. So for example, a lot of our clients have had certain foods that were triggering to them, foods that they felt that they couldn't have in the house, they couldn't be trusted around. And once they start to make these changes and they make these shifts from being compulsive to being calm, just like how those of you in the 30-day intensive will be trained to do. Now they're at the point where they can have that food in the house and they don't feel triggered by it anymore. Some people also get triggered right when they go to the grocery store. That might be a triggering environment. So a metric of success would be, oh, I went to the grocery store and I wasn't triggered like I used to be in the grocery store. I actually felt quite calm, or I felt much calmer than I used to be, right? That is a sign that you are moving in the right direction, because now you are feeling less compulsive, less obsessive, less afraid. And that means ultimately you have more trust in yourself. And that also, by the way, is another metric of success that I feel is far more important than the number on the scale, is how much do you trust yourself, right? Because a lot of us, we weigh ourselves in the first place because we don't trust ourselves. And if you trust yourself around food, right, that means there's no fear. That means there doesn't need to be mental obsession. That means there doesn't need to be willpower and all this self-control, because there's self-trust there. So, and this is ultimately what I say to my clients, and what I always look for when I'm working with a new person, is what direction are you moving in? Are you moving in the direction of more freedom, more peace, more ease around food, right? Which means less compulsion, less fear, less addiction, less obsession. If you're moving in that direction of more peace and less obsession, you're moving in the right direction. And I found that when we focus so heavily on the scale, it gets people moving in the opposite direction. It gets people more obsessed, more compulsive, more afraid. And all of these types of thought patterns and behavioral patterns end up being the very thing that fuels more binge eating, because we get uncomfortable. And what do? When we get uncomfortable, we eat. So it ends up not being the direction of more peace. It ends up being the direction of more pain, more suffering. And also, you know, I say that while weight and the number on the scale, it seems like it's this straightforward metric, But that doesn't mean that it's helpful in ending a pattern of disordered eating. In order to develop a peaceful relationship with food, there are certain skill sets that need to be developed, right? Like I just mentioned, skill sets of becoming peaceful instead of compulsive, like we're doing in our 30-day. Learning to follow sensations like hunger and fullness instead of food rules, right? That's another skill that we teach. Being able to bounce back from challenges, like learning to trust yourself, being peaceful around old triggers, right? These are all different skill sets that need to be developed. And whether or not you hit that number on the scale, that's not an adequate metric of any of those skill sets, right? You could hit that number on the scale and still be terrified around triggers, not trust yourself at all. You could be totally compulsive, not listening to your hunger and fullness, and yet the number on the scale is reached. But usually when that's the case, it won't be reached for long. And we know that. And the other thing to consider that took me a while to realize is that if the scale actually was an adequate tool for any of this, for any of it, then it would be enough. It would be enough to keep us from gaining the weight back after reaching our goal weight. But we see that with more than 95% of people, not that we gain the weight back, and a big percentage of that 95% is also gaining the weight back plus more. So if more than 95% of people are gaining the weight back, and tons of those people are gaining the weight back plus more, that's a sign that the scale is not only not a complete metric, but it's an adequate tool, but it actually might be a harmful tool that's taking us in the opposite direction of what we actually want. Because if it worked, wouldn't it have worked? Because most of us have tried this so many times, haven't we? So I've come to believe, after doing all this work for so long and seeing so many people let go of the scale and then finally see progress, now I believe that the scale is not only an incomplete metric of progress, but that when people place emphasis on weight more than an actual healthy relationship with food, it derails their progress and causes them to gain weight in the long term. So the obsession with the scale actually causes more weight gain than weight loss in the end. And this is an unpopular idea. I don't think this is the most popular idea I have. I think a lot of people would be upset by this idea. However, the numbers don't lie, right? If 95% of people who are focusing on weight loss and dieting are gaining the weight back, chances are that just weighing yourself is not the way. Right? It's not going to teach you any of the skills that you need for a long-term, sustainable, healthy relationship with food. So does that mean you'll never lose weight if you don't focus on the scale? No, this actually will finally free you to be able to, for your body to be able to reach a weight or a size or a shape that is actually comfortable for you. Because if you focus on certain skill sets, such as being calm instead of compulsive around food, or being able to listen to your body's signals, or being able to bounce back after a misstep, right? Being able to respond to your body in a productive way instead of a harmful way. Now you're developing skills that actually are useful to build a healthy body, right? Number monitoring is not a skill set to help you build a healthy body. We can't do it if we don't have the skills. So what happens when you learn those skills is now your body is free to become healthier as a side effect of you actually listening to it now, right? Because it's not just about you learning to trust your body. Your body needs to learn to trust you. And the more that you build these skills of listening to your body and working with your body as a teammate, instead of trying to force it like an enemy, treating it like we're working against it. Now we actually have a place where we can actually make some real progress in ourselves. And this is what our clients see as well. So training yourself in these skills is often the difference between a life focused on food versus a life being present and truly living your life and living your potential. And I think that that is one of the most meaningful results that I see people achieving, is that you're not just striving for a number on the scale anymore. You're actually reclaiming your mental energy. You're reclaiming your physical health. And when you're focusing on the skills that you need to do that, you're focusing on lifelong skills instead of just a temporary number on the scale. And when you have that mental energy available to you again, when you have your physical energy available to you again, now you're setting yourself up for infinite potential. So I hope that makes sense to you guys. And for those of you who are looking to make those changes in yourself this year, and you are more interested in long-term sustainable solutions where you're building these skills for a healthy mind and for a healthy body, for a healthy relationship around food, that's what Path to Food Freedom is for. That's our 30-day intensive that's starting in March. You can pre-register now. There's more info on my website if you'd like to check that out. You can go to katiepapo.com/path, and that's where we will guide you and train you. We have a self-study version if you're into that. If you like, if you don't need accountability and you just need the skill sets and you just need to practice and show up, that would be the perfect one for you. If you're somebody who would want me and my team in your pocket as you're going through this process, you want to be able to ask questions as you go, submit your work as you go, you'd like some accountability, then please feel free to enroll for the coaching version of that. So more information on my website, and feel free to check it out, and we'll be most happy to support you. So one thing I'll just leave you with today is that I really believed, you know, my old beliefs about the scale for a long time, and it was an absolute game changer when I finally let those beliefs go and focused on actually building the skills that I needed to have a healthy mind and to have a healthy body and to have a healthy relationship with food. Those are the things that can really last you a lifetime. So with that, I will say toodaloo, and feel free to reach out if you have any questions at all. And I'll see you on the next episode. All right, bye guys.
Thank you for listening. If you found this episode helpful, please subscribe, follow, or leave a kind review. If you're ready to get down to business and work with me to end your food issues permanently, please reach out or go to katiepapo.com for more info. Be kind to yourself, and I hope to see you for the next episode.